This program has been described by AudioVision. For information on over 400 video and audio titles, call toll-free 1-866-966-7667 or visit our accessible website, www.audiovisioncanada.com. The contents of this program are protected by copyright and may not be duplicated or used for any commercial purpose without the express written consent of the copyright holders.
Carl Malden. In Urge to Kill. Starring Paul Sorvino, Shirley Knight, Timothy Patrick Murphy, Catherine Mary Stewart, Holly Hunter as Wynn Nolan, and introducing Alex MacArthur as Bo Reinecker. Special guest star, William Devane. Music composed by Paul Chihara. Film editor, Benjamin A. Weissman. Art director, Jack Marty. Director of photography, Robert Jessup. Produced by Lee Raffner. Written and directed by Mike Robe. At a football game, young people cheer and pump their fists into the air. Number 41 readies himself as the quarterback of the other team stands over his center. At the snap, players collide violently as the quarterback moves backward with the ball. Number 41 watches the quarterback intently as cheerleaders root on the sidelines. A receiver runs downfield as number 41 waits for the quarterback to throw the ball. The quarterback hurls the ball through the air in a tight spiral. 41 intercepts the ball from the receiver and breaks through three defenders. A young man in the stands watches, subdued, as 41 scores a touchdown. Triumphant, 41 meets a cheerleader's gaze. While the young man in the stands watches, 41's teammates hoist him onto their shoulders. Later that evening, a convertible pulls into the parking lot of the Burger Bar with two young men aboard. The driver offers 41 a joint.
No thanks. I'm in training.
Well, you better be in training. The way you played tonight, Lisa's gonna love you till dawn. Woo!
Wearing their high school letter jackets, the young men walk toward the Burger Bar and step inside. As the young men walk through the crowded restaurant, one shakes outstretched hands while his friend hugs a girl.
Say, Marsh, where's Lisa?
She left.
She left? With who?
Drew Lanscott.
As Bo turns toward the door, Marsha and his friend watch, subdued.
Give me your keys.
Bo, take it easy, man.
Give me your keys!
When his friend takes the keys from his pocket, Bo snatches them and rushes out. Marsha and her boyfriend look at each other, concerned. A little later, Bo drives the convertible across a bridge that spans a dammed river. The convertible turns into a parking lot beside the dam spillway. Bo stops the car close to the only other car in the lot and steps out. Bo steps toward the other car, where a couple sit inside, necking. As Bo opens the door, Lisa and Drew Lanscott look up, surprised.
Who do you think you are, Ronica?
Bo slugs Lanscott, slams him onto his back.
Bo, stop it!
Then punches him in the head.
Start walking. Lisa and I are back together, man. I'm not leaving her. Now or I swear I'll tear you in two.
Bo's eyes glitter coldly as he watches Lanscott back up and glance at Lisa, who hurries to put her sweater on, horrified. Lanscott glances over his shoulder, then runs off.
Get out.
There are things you don't understand, Bo.
I said get out.
Bo, then you know.
He grips her by the shoulders.
Bo, don't.
And yanks her from the car.
Bo!
Bo bolts upright on an institutional bed.
Something new?
Nothing. I pull her out of the car, and it stops. It always stops.
Look, that was 4 years ago. Don't blow it now. Tomorrow's the day.
There's gotta be a way.
Do what the doc said. Forget about it.
I can't forget. What I've gotta do is remember. I've got to.
Outside the offices of the Bannon Daily News, a young woman strides along the sidewalk. Inside...
Because we don't have the staff. Let me get back to you, Fred. Thanks.
He hangs up and walks to the front desk as the young woman enters.
When?
Somebody didn't like my column?
The monthly press sheet from the Mental Health Authority just came out, and I thought you'd like to see it first.
As Wynn reads the press sheet, the man watches her closely. Later, three men step out of a diner.
The next one's on me.
Daddy?
Holding the press sheet, Wynn approaches her father.
He's out.
She hands him the sheet. He reads it, then looks up, agitated. Meanwhile, a bus moves along a country road. Bo stares out the bus window, lost in thought. As he looks out, the bus passes the parking lot by the dam spillway, and he remembers.
Start walking. Lisa and I are back together, man. I'm not gonna leave her.
Get out.
Bo, don't! No!
The bus crosses the bridge over the spillway. Meanwhile, in town...
It doesn't seem fair to end like this.
It was never fair.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I wonder who to call or tell.
It doesn't matter. The whole town will know soon enough.
You want me to come in? Talk a while?
What's the use? He's 1,000 miles away by now.
Tom looks at his daughter, pats her arm, then walks to the front door of the bank. Meanwhile, the bus pulls off the highway and slows to a stop in front of the bus terminal. When the doors slide open, the driver steps out and checks in with the dispatcher as passengers disembark. As Bo is about to step off the bus, he reads a sign, "The Bannon Council of Churches welcomes you." As Bo walks away, the dispatcher looks up and peers after him. Later, as Bo moves along a sidewalk, a woman pushing a stroller looks at him curiously as he passes by. As two workers eye him disdainfully, Bo crosses the street and approaches a man who's washing windows at Johnson's Furniture.
Excuse me. Is Doyle Reinecker here?
Who?
My... Doyle Reinecker?
He's in back. Back.
The man watches in astonishment as Bo steps into the store. Out back is a pickup truck with Reinecker and Sons Sand and Gravel on the door. Bo's father is struggling to load a piece of furniture onto the truck. Bo arrives and watches his father.
How's it going, Dad?
Unsmiling, Doyle looks at his son.
Well, today's a big day, isn't it?
I guess so. What are you hauling for Johnson's?
Well, it ain't gravel, that's for sure. I forgot what gravel looks like. Johnson's was having a sale, needed some delivery help.
The two men stare at each other.
Well, we Reinickers, at least we're flexible.
Yeah. We've had to be.
How's Mom?
Well, she's up and down, you know. Mostly up today, for sure.
Bo looks away.
Well, look, sooner I get this stuff delivered, sooner we can get out to the house and see her. Want to help you out?
I know about my brain. There's nothing wrong with my back.
Bo steps into the truck and moves boxes around. Behind his back, his father pulls out a bottle of whiskey and takes a swallow. Meanwhile, at the bank...
I could have sworn I sent that check.
Probably got lost in the mail. Now, you just hand this to Mrs. Bevins over there, and she'll straighten it out for you. Give my best to Lyman.
Thanks, Lou.
Tom watches as his secretary hangs up her phone.
What's wrong?
That was Lou Judd at the bus station. The Reinecker boy just came in.
Tom is stunned by this news.
Well, he's a free man, I guess.
Tom turns away, lost in thought. Later, at a golf course, two golf carts carry four men along a path. Tom is waiting for them.
Hi, Doc.
What brings you out here, Tom? The club behind on its mortgage?
Tom, we're just between nines. Come on in and have a beer with us.
They just released Bo Reinick.
The men look at Tom, astonished.
He came in on the morning bus and he got off and just walked down Summit Street.
What in the world's wrong with those state doctors?
Ron, you're the county attorney, and I was wondering if there wasn't some way we could challenge his parole.
Well, it's not a parole, Tom. Technically, he was found not guilty.
You see, Tom, they made him a patient instead of a prisoner.
State board says he's ready to rejoin society.
All right, never mind the state board. But I got to thinking, a couple of weeks ago, you fellas committed old Lyle Dozier to the county hospital.
But that's a civil proceeding, not criminal.
That usually takes a petition from next of kin, Tom. I don't think that's your answer.
What is my answer? 4 years ago, that boy threw Lisa into the river and drowned her. And now they're sending him home to his family. That's pretty hard to take, you know. Seems to me there should be some kind of an answer for me. For my family.
Tom turns away from his friends and walks off. Meanwhile, the Reinecker pickup truck turns into the driveway of the family home. A cement mixer truck is parked in the backyard. Bo steps out of the pickup, then stands there, looking at the house. Bo strides toward the house, hops up the steps to the porch, and opens the front door.
Mom?
A banner is lettered, "Welcome home, Bo." His mother appears in the entrance hall.
You've lost weight.
I'll get it back.
What about the smile I remember?
Bo smiles as he and his mother step toward each other, then hug. Doyle walks in and stands at the doorway, watching.
Oh, welcome party. Calls for a drink.
Meanwhile, at a restaurant downtown...
I can't believe he came back here.
Well, I was still in Portland then.
Wynn sits at a table with the editor of the Daily News.
He claimed he couldn't remember anything, right?
He'd been hit in the head with a rock or something. They figured my sister was trying to fight him off.
No witnesses?
No. He ran off Drew Lanscott to some farmhouse. Drew called the police, and they found Bo at the dam, really out of it, I guess.
I wonder what attracts anyone to a kid like that.
He was always sort of dangerous. But 4 years ago, every girl in school had a crush on him. Everyone.
Was your mother still alive then?
She died the year before.
Must have been a tough time for you and your dad.
As Wynn looks away, he watches her, then finishes his drink.
Other round?
She looks at her wristwatch.
I'm kind of wondering how Dad's doing.
Get on home.
Wynn stands up.
By the way, I loved your column yesterday. Good effort.
You liked it. I've known most of the school board all my life. I tried not to offend them.
Well, the truth is more important than whose toes you're stepping on. But you'll get it. We got a whole semester to toughen you up. See you.
Wynn leaves. Meanwhile, at the Reinekers, Bo dances with his mother.
You know, for a former football star, you don't dance worth a dime.
I haven't had much practice lately.
I think he dances like Fred Astaire.
Lady, one of us better lay off the hooch.
Well, the one of us is you. If your mother saw you, she'd scream.
Where is Grandma? I thought she'd be here.
Oh, she's not feeling good, honey, if she would be.
She turns the radio off.
There's really not much of a crowd around here, what with your brother away. The main thing is you're home.
Doyle clutches a bottle of whiskey.
Welcome back.
Hey, if we're gonna drink, let's drink.
I can't, Dad. The doctor said I needed to lay off.
The doctors? The hell do the doctors know? They said your mom was going downhill. Look at her. She's as strong as a mule.
He tries to pour whiskey into Bo's glass.
Doyle, if he doesn't want it.
Just one drink.
He's not like you. He doesn't need it.
Why would he? He didn't have to spend the last 4 years in this town.
Doyle grabs Bo by the arm.
You think it's been fun being a Reinecker around here? Your grandma ain't sick. She won't come here. You know why your brother ran away and joined the army? To get away from you and what you did.
Leave him alone.
If you think that he's gonna come waltzing back in this town and start delivering concrete like he did before, like nothing ever happened, you are dreaming.
He has every right to be here. This is his home. So you and your mother and the whole damn town can just...
Mom?
Oh, God. Bo helps his mother to the couch. Bo takes an inhaler from his mother's purse and pumps the spray into her mouth while Doyle looks on drunkenly.
Welcome home, boy.
Bo turns and looks at his father. That evening, a car pulls up outside a large, rambling house.
All I know is he's back.
Wynn walks into the kitchen.
Hi, Jenny. Where's Daddy?
Family room ever since he came home.
He told you?
Jenny nods. In the den, photos of Lisa adorn a shelf. Tom picks up Lisa's Harvest Queen sash and looks at it sadly. Wynn steps softly into the room and watches as her father caresses her sister's sash.
I remember the night you crowned her.
Tom looks up, then puts the sash back on the shelf.
That was the first time I noticed you and Lisa had the same smile. Same dimple on the left. Everything.
Really? I always thought she had her mother's smile.
Well, Jenny's got the soup on. You ready to eat?
How could they do it, Wynn?
What?
Turn that boy loose.
I guess if they let him go, they figure he's safe now.
But that's just it. They don't know.
He opens a roll-top desk.
Happens every day.
And takes out a file folder.
You let a man out and he does it again. Did you know that insanity is not a medical term? The lawyers invented it. They drag some psychiatrist into the courtroom and try to get him to define something they can't even agree on themselves.
You've been studying.
Good Lord, how could he come back here to Bannon?
I guess he hopes people will eventually forget.
Tom looks at a photo of Lisa.
Well, he's wrong. They're never going to forget Lisa. All my life I've lived by the law. But when the law breaks down, a man has a right to take his case to the people.
Where are you going?
To my office, writing my legislator. Maybe a waste of time, but at least it's a start.
Daddy!
Come on. There's nothing you can do now. The insanity plea's been around 140 years.
Oh, I see. I'm not the only one who's been studying.
Back in high school, I thought about doing a story. I chickened out.
But you could do it now. You've got a column.
Except, I don't know if it's ethical for me to write about...
Ethical? Is it ethical for that boy to come back here and rub our noses in his freedom? Wynn, I could write letters until I bust, but I could never find the words like you can. You've got a gift. You can move people with your writing.
Wynn smiles nervously.
But if we can't change anything...
Let's try. Maybe that's all that matters. Lisa never gave up in her life. Wynn, I don't think I've ever asked you for much. Do this one thing for me. Do it with me, please.
They hug each other. As she nestles in her father's arms, Wynn's eyes glisten with tears. Later, at the Bannon Daily News, Wynn's editorial is displayed on a monitor.
Well, you said I had to toughen up.
Tough, yeah, but this is biased, inflammatory, possibly be libelous.
Libelous? It's labeled as commentary. I mean, don't I have the right to my opinion?
Yes, but the boy's done his time. A newspaper can't harass a person who comes back into private life.
Private? Beau's name is all over town.
Maybe, but does that give us the right to put it in bold print?
It gives us the obligation, seems to me.
I was much happier as a reporter. I don't know why I got into management.
Child support and two ex-wives.
Thank you.
Wynn looks at Aaron expectantly.
All right. But the line about Reinecker's moral guilt has got to go. I'm going to check with the legal department for libel. And Walt's going to do a follow-up story on cases where people have justifiably used the insanity plea.
Thanks, Aaron. I appreciate it. So does my dad.
Wynn turns to leave.
What does your dad have to do with it?
And stops.
Nothing. Thank you very much.
As she walks away, Aaron muses and shakes his head. Meanwhile, at the Reinecker house, the pickup and cement mixer sit idle. Inside, Beau sits up on his bed. Beau lifts a school yearbook from his bedside table and thumbs through it. He turns to a full-page picture of Lisa, happily wearing the Harvest Queen tiara and sash, and looks at it sadly.
It's not fair!
What did you expect?
Outside...
That the whole town was going to greet him with open arms? I told you this would happen.
Edna holds the newspaper.
He didn't break out of that hospital. The doctors let him out. She has no right to bring it all up again.
Beau steps onto the front porch.
What is it, Mom?
Nothing. Don't put on those new clothes that I bought you. It's time that you went to work, just like we planned.
Edna, I'm telling you, he should lay low.
No, he's earned his freedom. This town's going to know once and for all my son is here to stay.
She walks into the house. Later, holding a clipboard, Doyle walks alongside his cement mixer truck and approaches the cab. Beau is in the driver's seat.
Where to?
You got a foundation on Ames Road, another one on Poplar. You got an air conditioning pad on Crestview. I'll take that one.
Who is it?
Landscott Construction. They need 2 yards to finish a driveway.
Drew's old man.
Doyle nods.
He gives us the nickel and dime stuff. You just bring the truck back and I'll make that delivery.
No, it's my job.
As Beau pulls away, Doyle stands back, watching. As he drives the truck through town, Beau sees his friend, now a police officer, and Marcia, who carries their baby. As Beau pulls the truck over and jumps out, his friend walks over to him.
I hope you're on your way to a costume party.
Afraid not. Figured if you couldn't beat him, join him.
What'd you say, Marcia?
Marcia stands at a distance, aloof, holding her baby.
Times have changed, huh?
Yeah, times have changed. So how they treat you up there?
Good. Okay, anyway. A lot of talking to doctors. A lot of drugs.
Free drugs, huh? What a deal. High all the time.
No highs. No lows either. Just four pops a day to keep me right in the middle.
Man, I can't believe you came back here. I know your mom's sick and all, but people are real upset. You see that thing our sister wrote this morning? Damn.
It's stuff I said at the trial. About not being able to remember. It's true. No one here believed me, I know that. But the joke is that I want to remember. I have to. That's why I came back.
Don't go digging up the past. It's finished business.
Not for me.
Eddie, you've got to get to work.
Marcia turns away.
Listen, maybe we could shoot some snooker later on. I kind of wanted to talk to you about that night.
Eddie's eyes shift nervously.
I'm not real sure when I get off. Maybe another time.
Bo looks at his old friend sadly.
It's real good to see you again.
You too.
Unable to meet Bo's gaze, Eddie turns away and leaves. Wynn's editorial headline reads, "The Release of Bartholomew Reinecker. Justice Triumphs?" At the Landscott construction site, an older worker reads it.
Need more sheetrock in the back if you get a chance, Isaac.
Okay, right away.
Bo's truck approaches the site. He stops the truck near Drew, who leans against a pickup, reading blueprints. Drew glances up, then looks away as Bo steps out of the truck. Bo walks toward Drew, who ignores him as he continues reading the blueprints.
You want 2 yards of concrete, I guess?
Drew glances up.
You can get it down before I change my mind.
Concrete pours out of the truck into forms, and workers rake it into place. As Bo turns the flow off, Ivan, the older worker, approaches and watches Bo angrily.
Who says an ex-con can't get work?
Two other workers join Ivan and stare at Bo resentfully. Bo hands Drew a clipboard. Drew stares coldly at Bo, then signs for the concrete. Bo walks toward his truck.
It's a shame a man can't live here anymore without locking up his daughters.
Bo walks alongside the truck to the cab, opens the door, and climbs in. Ivan steps over to the rear of the truck and opens the flow valve. Bo sees concrete pouring out of the truck and the five construction workers watching him. He puts the truck in reverse and backs over the freshly laid concrete as the men jump out of the way. The angry workers move toward the truck.
Get him harder! Get him! Get him!
Ivan yanks Bo from the cab.
Come on! Come on! Get him! Get him! Get him!
While the others hold Bo, Ivan pummels him as Drew turns away.
When?
Later at the Daily News.
Assemblyman Bly is swinging through town for the dedication of that clinic tomorrow. How are you doing about 12 column inches, okay?
The radical assemblyman in me. That ought to shake Daddy up.
Aren't you getting a little old to care about how your father feels one way or another?
I consider how he feels about some things, but I...
Your column today. I'm curious, his idea or yours?
What difference does it make?
None, unless you're serious about the newspaper business.
I'm very serious. It's all I've ever wanted to do.
If you want to be a mouthpiece, you ought to go into PR, not journalism.
All right. The column was his idea. But the words are mine, Aaron. The feeling's mine, every bit of it.
Quinn Nolan! I want you to know you got what you called for. A lynch mob. They beat my boy bad. That makes you happy, I know. But I wonder, once you cause my son's death, who's going to write about the fairness of that?
Stunned, Wynn watches Edna hurry out of the newsroom, then looks up and meets Aaron's critical gaze. She runs after Edna, who has left the building.
Mrs. Reiniker? Whatever happened to your son was not my fault. Do they know who did it?
A construction gang. Lanscott.
What happened?
They say Bo attacked them. That's their story, anyway.
What's Bo's?
Since he's unconscious, I don't know. All I do know is that you have whipped this town into a frenzy with that story of yours. It's just a matter of time, thanks to you.
Do you expect me to believe that your son, wouldn't start a fight with a hard hat? Since when?
Since he's been taking lithium. Every day for the last 4 years. My son couldn't swing at a gnat. Not anymore.
If he's innocent, let the law take its due process.
Due process for Bo in this town?
He's done okay by it so far.
Edna takes a puff from her inhaler.
Are you all right?
Whatever my boy did 4 years ago, Miss Nolan, it's caused him more grief than you can imagine. Now, our business has failed, and my husband drinks too much. I'm not saying that our loss compares to yours, but hasn't the suffering gone on long enough? When does it end?
Wynn considers Edna's words as she watches her walk away. In the evening at home, Wynn walks into the kitchen.
He's booked on assault and battery?
She eavesdrops on Tom's conversation.
Just assault. What kind of a sentence does that carry? 30 days, huh? 30 days. Ron, could I ask a favor of you? Could we talk about this over coffee tomorrow before you arraign him?
Wynn walks into the living room.
Oh, I don't know. I guess maybe I should have gotten more involved the first time. How about 8 o'clock? Fine. Good night. You heard?
She nods.
So much for the state's method of curing lunatics, right? Now if we can just keep up the pressure.
Daddy, he's lying in the hospital near dead.
No. Marty Gage thinks he's going to pull out of it.
Listen, did you hear he's on lithium? That it wouldn't be likely that he would attack anyone.
Those four fellas all signed a complaint. Why would they lie?
Maybe they were just mad that he was free and...
And they should be mad. That's what I'm trying to say. Now that the kindling is burning, we've got to fan the flames.
Yeah, but Daddy, I can't keep writing every column about
all
this.
Right.
I've already...
All right. I understand. You just do everything that you're capable of. But we can't let up. Lisa's counting on us. We can't let up.
The next day at the Daily News, a printed story states that Bo attacked the Lanscott workers. Wynn reads the story, then walks into the newsroom. She puts down her purse and coat, then walks into Aaron's office.
Aaron, got a second?
No. Why?
I've been thinking about the Reiniker story.
And?
Well, what's there is okay, but the accounts seem off balance. There's no mention of his motive. It just seems...
one-sided.
Yeah.
So what is your concern about objectivity?
What's the matter?
I'm mad. I'm mad at you and me both. Because yesterday I let that story go to press with three conflicting interviews.
And last night at the grill, I overheard one of Landscott's men say that they passed your column around. And then they decided that if they ever ran into the Reinecker kid, they would personally see that justice was served. Now that's great, isn't it? I don't know what this paper does better, shoddy reporting or inciting of riots.
Aaron turns his back on her.
Your criticism is duly noted, Miss Nolan. If I can find someone free around this madhouse today, you can bet your backside that we're going to do a follow-up on this story.
As his rebuke sinks in, Wynne stands motionless. Then she turns and leaves his office. Wynne sits at her desk and thinks. Later, at the hospital, Edna stands and walks down a hallway. Wynne approaches her.
He didn't want to see you.
I can understand that.
He isn't angry about the article. He's just ashamed. But I told him that I thought you'd tell his side fair. He's waiting.
Wynne walks into Beau's room and stands at the foot of his bed. Beau lies facing away from her.
I've come to talk to you for the paper.
Beau turns toward her, his face a mass of welts and bruises. Wynne pauses, unnerved.
I won't take much time. The straighter the answer, the quicker I'll be gone. When did you get to the construction site?
Meanwhile, Edna paces nervously outside Beau's room. Looking up, she sees Dr. Gage striding toward her and steps forward to meet him.
He has a guest, Dr. Gage.
Yes, I heard. And I don't think that's wise, Mrs. Reinecker. I don't think that's very smart at all.
It's important. There'll only be a moment.
So Ivan White pulled you out of the truck.
And the others joined the party. And that's it.
Okay. I get the picture. I'll do what I can.
As Wynne prepares to leave, Beau looks at her pensively.
Anything else?
I was just thinking about the last time we saw each other.
Shirley Endorf's birthday. We parked next to you at the drive-in.
Rocky was playing. You hollered over, "Hey, Rocky, how's the popcorn?"
I'm surprised you remember that.
I remember everything about you and Lisa. Except for one night.
Dr. Gage and Edna enter.
What are you doing, Winnie? My patient's not ready for this.
I said she could come, Doc.
It's all right. I'll leave. I got what I came for.
Wynne eyes Dr. Gage coldly, then leaves. Beau lies motionless, staring vacantly.
It's time to let the law decide the fate of Beau Reinecker.
Later.
Certainly it's time to put an end to the harassment and vilification he's been made to suffer. For my part, the antagonism will end where it started 2 days ago, in this column.
Aaron leans back as Wynne stands beside him.
That's very good. Fair-minded. You do know, however, that when your daddy reads it, he's going to blow sky high.
I know. But it's not his column.
A man walks in.
Hey, get this. I just talked to Myers on the police desk. Landscott and his workers have dropped all charges against the Reinecker kid.
Why?
Well, Myers says it's because Doyle Reinecker is going to file a general insanity petition instead.
The boy's own father's going to try to have him committed?
Uh-huh. As soon as the judge gets back in town. Forget 30 days for assault. They're going to try to stick that kid in the county loony bin.
Wynn is alarmed at this news. Later, as Wynn walks outside, Tom sees her.
Wynn!
Hi. You want me to pick up your cleaning on my way home?
He shows her the newspaper.
Never mind why you wrote it. Why didn't you talk to me first?
Because we don't always talk, Daddy. You dictate, I copy.
You have a case for defending your sister's killer? I'm all ears.
I don't want to defend him, but he didn't start that fight.
He's a confirmed maniac.
Daddy, crowd justice isn't going to put him away. It's got to be based on fact. And the fact is,
we had him until you took his side. Now the whole town is confused. You can just hear them. The old town sure lost control of his kid. That's what they're saying, you know.
Control? You think you can run me like your bank? I have a job. I am responsible for what I write.
Job? What you have is 12 weeks in a work-study program, and I got it for you in the first place. You have a responsibility, all right, to me.
For how long? I'm 19 years old. When do I get to be an adult?
When you grow up.
That's what I'm trying to do.
How? By abandoning your sister and me? Is that being mature? Is that the gratitude I get for 19 years of encouragement and love?
That's not true. It's never been true. For 19 years, you've given me a roof. The love was for Lisa.
And if it's not true, why did I ask for your help?
Because in print, I've got power and you need it.
Morning, Tom.
Oh, morning, Sokolovich.
The man walks by quickly.
Good Lord, what's happening to us? Did I change while you were away? Did you?
Nothing's changed, Daddy. More's the pity.
Let's go hunting tomorrow.
What?
Let's go hunting like we used to. The quail are as thick as fleas behind the house, and we can continue this fight there if you like.
She looks at him, puzzled.
You've written something that you think is right. I accept that. But you and I can't start slipping away from each other. That I can't accept.
He looks into her eyes. Early the next morning... Smiling, Wynn bounds down the stairs and runs toward the kitchen.
What are you doing?
Right now, I'm making biscuits.
For real or in mine, huh? You haven't baked biscuits since, I don't know when.
Well, if I'm going to pass on the secret family recipe, I'd better start practicing. Now for the coup de grace.
Sugar? No, I'm on a diet.
It's my secret touch.
My hips draw sugar like a magnet.
You want me to tell you something? Your hips could use the sugar.
Outside, Dr. Gage gets out of his car carrying a gun case.
Dr. Gage?
Oh, I forgot. I ran into him at Rotary yesterday. And, well, you don't mind if he tags along, do you? He's the only one I can outshoot.
No, that's fine.
Later, outside...
Get it, Snuff. Get it!
A bird dog zigzags through the tall, dry grass with his nose to the ground, while the three hunters walk behind, carrying shotguns. The threesome slow their pace as the dog noses back and forth excitedly through the brush. A quail struts through the underbrush. Tom watches as his dog stops and points. The quail takes flight. Tom and Gage miss. Then Wynn fires and knocks the bird from the sky.
Did you see that? That's the way to go.
Nice shot, Wynn. Nice
I
shot.
Think this one's a son I never had, Marty. Oh, she used to get up at dawn ready to go hunting. And Lisa used to stay in bed to get her beauty rest.
Oh, that's why I look this way. I didn't sleep enough.
Come on, Snuffy, get it.
How'd you learn to shoot like that?
That man over there.
Fetch!
The dog brings the bird to Tom.
Want to take a break?
Sure.
I must be getting too old. My heart can't stand the excitement.
Gage and Wynn sit on a log.
Seeing you with that boy at the hospital, I think that was my excitement quota for the week.
Wynn looks at him curiously.
I was just doing my job.
I know. I'm not saying it's wrong. It's just dangerous.
He didn't look very dangerous Wednesday.
Well, Wynn, I've been treating Bo Reiniker for a long time. He can be real disarming. The truth is, he's got a classic explosive disorder. I remember once when he got mad at a picnic and gave a kid a compound fracture. And a year later, he laid into a boy from another high school. Well, God, that was even worse.
Where were the police all this time?
Oh, there'd usually be a drunken disorderly complaint, but then they dropped the charges to keep him eligible for football.
Anything to win the state.
Now, you see, we've got this Landscott mess. It's the same old pattern, Wynn. The boy is a walking time bomb.
Even on lithium therapy?
How'd you know that?
I'm a reporter. I ask questions.
Well, the lithium is supposed to ease his condition, but there's no guarantee. With the mind, there's never a guarantee. Well, Mrs. Gilliland's gallbladder waits for no man. Besides, we didn't come out here to talk about Bo Reiniker.
No, of course not.
Tom studies his daughter closely.
Daddy, Bo Reiniker can't change who he is. Some people are just sick.
No, some people are just bad.
Wynn looks at her father questioningly. Later, at the Daily News, Wynn walks into the newsroom.
Wynn?
Yeah?
Guy says he wants to meet you at the football field this afternoon. Says he's got something for you.
Football field? What guy?
Said his name is Rocky.
Wynn suppresses a smile. Later, at the football field, Wynn walks up a ramp and scans the stadium. She spots Bo sitting in the bleachers nearby. And approaches him cautiously. She stops a short distance away.
I hoped you'd come.
You're out of the hospital already.
My old man took one look at the bill and told me to heal quick.
The message said you had something for me?
Right.
He grabs a bag.
Lunch?
Look, have you heard your dad might be planning some kind of court thing?
Yeah. He was pretty boozed up at the time. Burger bar, double cheese deluxe with extra sauce and home fries. I rest my case.
Reluctant, Wynn moves closer to him and sits down uneasily.
It's funny. I never sat up here before. I was always down on the field. Were you a cheerleader too?
No. The year I tried out, they were into blondes with big pom-poms. Look, I don't think I should be here.
She stands.
You're right. But just listen to one thing. Back before I met Lisa, all my life added up to was drugs and cars and women. For all I cared, Lisa was another stuck-up snob. And one night, we ended up in the same movie line.
Bo steps closer to her.
We talked. She listened. She laughed at my stupid jokes. I went to bed that night thinking I just met an honest-to-God princess. Lisa was the best thing that ever happened to me, Wynn. And I miss her so much. I can't accept what they say I did.
What else could have happened?
I don't know. I came back to find out.
Bannon doesn't want you.
I know. I thought about splitting.
Why didn't you?
You came. And we talked. And I remembered how it was with Lisa. And I wouldn't leave now if they shot me.
She looks at him aghast, then inches away from him.
I really do have to go.
What? No home fries?
Deadline.
I remember he used to sock these away 12 at a time.
That was a long time ago.
Come on.
No, I...
She touches him and he stiffens, his eyes vacant.
No! Don't! No!
He recalls images of the night of Lisa's death. Lisa picks herself up off the ground and kisses him. Wynn stares at Beau.
Well, thanks anyway.
Then turns and walks away.
Wait. Don't go.
I have to.
As Wynn leaves, Beau watches her intently. Later at the Daily News...
Gladys, you take the city council at noon. Fiery AA playoffs. Well, what hat are you wearing tomorrow? Police or court?
Well, I'm not sure. I just heard Judge McGrath was on his way back. Old man Reinecker was at his office all morning filling out a commitment petition. All the judge has got to do is sign. They'll be off to pick up the boy.
How soon will they hold a hearing?
Law says within 48 hours.
Meanwhile, at the Reinecker's...
How can you ask a court to put away your own flesh and blood?
He needs treatment.
Shh. He'll hear you.
Starting fights, screaming in his sleep.
Beau overhears this.
All doped up on drugs all the time.
You should.
I want him in the county hospital. I'll check him over every 6 months. If he gets better, he gets out. And until then, he needs help.
He needs his family.
No, he needs help. And we can't afford anything else. What's going to happen next time you have to go to the hospital?
Reinecker and Sons. Honey, it's for you.
Beau moves to answer the phone. Later, near the stream behind her father's property, Wynn rides a horse. She reins the animal in as she approaches Beau, who leans against the hood of his father's pickup truck, waiting for her.
Thanks for calling.
Beau steps toward her.
Hiya, Stardust.
And feeds her horse a sugar cube.
You remember, don't you? I used to meet Lisa here, after work.
I used to watch her from my bedroom window, riding off.
He rubs Stardust's muzzle as Wynn dismounts.
Listen, I found out something. At your hearing, the county attorney's going to bring in a special psychiatrist to examine you. So you'd better call your doctor up north.
Why?
He released you. He'll back you up.
Maybe.
Maybe? Why wouldn't he?
I told him I was going to trade school in Oklahoma. He wouldn't be real thrilled about me coming back here.
She looks at him, dismayed.
What I said at the trial about not being able to remember. You believe me, don't you?
I believe you never meant to hurt Lisa. I guess I'm the only one who knew what it was really like between you two. I was the kid sister, remember? All the library notes and phone calls. I knew about them all. Lisa could hide you from my father and her friends, but I always knew. She was so controlled till she met you. And then she just got crazy in love. I thought it was a great change.
Beau stands motionless, his eyes vacant.
What's the matter?
She peers at him curiously.
Are you all right?
Beau remembers embracing and kissing Lisa the night of her death.
I do love you. It's always been you.
What's the matter, Beau?
Suddenly, he grins at her.
I never remembered that before. Never.
They look up and see a pickup truck slow to a stop.
Oh, God, it's Bob Taft.
Taft looks at them disapprovingly, then drives on.
You better get out of here.
You don't understand. I can remember.
Go!
As Wynn hurries to her horse, Beau gets into the pickup. When Beau drives away, Wynn gallops off. As she rides onto her father's property, she slows Stardust to a stop and sees two cars moving off down the long driveway. She dismounts.
Thanks, Marty.
As Tom waves goodbye to Dr. Gage,
visitors?
Wynn walks into the front yard and approaches her father.
Friends. Concerned friends.
Planning some strategy? I wish I could have been here.
No. I'm afraid they would have felt very uncomfortable with you around. Especially after the phone call.
Phone call from whom?
Bob Taft.
I swear it's like living in a fishbowl.
He's a neighbor. He cares about this family.
Tight-lipped, Tom faces his daughter.
He saw you in that boy's arms.
In his arms? Daddy, I was just trying to...
Yes? To what? You've done an interview? Cut out the malarkey. Be honest if you have the guts. What were you trying to do?
Warn him.
My God. This isn't a question of principle with you, it's revenge.
That is ridiculous.
What was your sister's crime against you? Being more beautiful? More popular? Is that what this crummy desertion boils down to? Petty jealousy because you felt you weren't your sister's equal.
Oh, I felt equal enough, Daddy. How you felt may be open to question.
Oh, you want to be treated like Lisa? Fine, great. Show me one shred of loyalty, of class.
I have class, my kind. Not Lisa's. Would you see me? Would you look at me and not look at what you wish was there?
Am I asking too much to wish for a daughter I can be proud of again? You know, Lisa never gave me one ounce of trouble in her whole life.
Oh, not to your face anyway.
Oh, sure. Go ahead. Go for her throat now. You couldn't compete with her in life, but now, of course, you can shoot for a postmortem victory.
I'm not Lisa!
And you never will be!
Shocked at his words, Wynn turns and runs to her car.
Decide, young lady. This family or that murder?
Wynn drives off.
There's no need to come back. There's no place in this house for you.
As Wynn speeds off down the driveway, Tom glares after her. Later, as the sun sets, the lights on a motel sign light up. Wynn sits on a bed in one of the rooms, miserable, tears glistening in her eyes. At last, she breaks down. Later, Wynn walks into a restaurant, steps up to the counter, and takes a seat.
Just coffee, thanks.
A waitress pours her a cup. Wynn looks along the counter and sees Eddie in his police uniform. She moves next to Eddie, sits down, and smiles at him faintly.
Slow night, huh?
Like most of them, fortunately. Look, I don't know what made you write that last column of yours, but it took a lot of guts to defend Bo Reinecke around here. Someone ought to say thanks for his family and all.
Well, fair's fair.
Yeah. Look, I have a wife. A new baby. I've only been a cop for 8 months. I'm still on probation with the department.
You'll make it.
Not if they knew I told you.
Told me what?
They're gonna railroad him. If the judge sends him to the county hospital, he's had it.
What do you mean? Even if they put him away now, the county doctors still have to reconsider his case every 6 months.
I heard the chief talking on the phone to Doc Gage. The guy in charge of the county hospital is Gage's brother-in-law. Bo will be there till he rots. Someone ought to advise the guy, you know? Someone might tell him this county's got no jurisdiction if he hightails it out of here. That's what I'd tell him, if I could.
As the meaning of his words sinks in, Wynn looks at Eddie. Eddie places some money on the counter, glances at Wynn, then leaves. Wynn sits, staring straight ahead, thinking. Later, she enters her motel room, then hurries to the bedside table and thumbs through a phone book. In the Reinecker's kitchen.
Hello?
Look, I just found out something.
Where are you, home?
No, let me just tell you what I heard.
Who is that?
No one, Dad.
Is that the girl?
I have to see you.
Yeah, hang up. Damn it.
Burger bar, 10 minutes.
Doyle hangs up the phone and grabs the truck keys.
I need the truck, Dad.
Not a chance. I've turned you loose on this town once too often.
Please, Dad.
I said no.
Bo slams his father against a wall, then takes the keys and rushes out. Doyle crumples to the floor, winded. Later, at the deserted burger bar, Wynn waits in her car. Bo turns into the lot. He pulls up beside her car, and she slides over to make room for him. He climbs in beside her.
I just found out. You're never going to get out of that hospital if they commit you. It's rigged, Bo. You have to leave town tonight.
I can't leave.
Why?
This afternoon at the lake, I remembered something Lisa said that night. It's coming back.
Then it'll come back in Oklahoma.
No, not without you. You're the reason I can remember. Being with you, I can feel Lisa. I can hear her.
Doesn't matter. You can't stay here any longer.
That night, she told me she loved me, not Drew. Why would I have killed her? All we need's a little more time together.
Time? Time is what you haven't got, don't you see?
Please, I'm begging you.
They're going to crucify you. God in heaven, are you nuts?
Bo looks at her, stung by her words. He turns away from her.
I didn't mean that. I'm really sorry.
Wynn touches his cheek and turns his head. Bo leans closer and kisses her. When Bo leans forward again and kisses her passionately, he recalls the night Lisa died.
But if you love me, then why him?
I can't marry you.
Bo pulls away from Wynn.
Because I'm marrying Drew Lanscott.
Why Drew, Lisa?
I'm not Lisa.
Tell me!
No!
Wynn slaps him.
Oh, God.
Bo.
I deserve what they're gonna do to me.
He gets out of the car.
Bo.
And walks briskly to his truck. Bo backs his truck away. Frustrated, Wynn leans back into her seat. Later, at the courthouse.
I want to remind everybody that this is a hearing, not a trial, open only to those interested parties I've approved. Mr. Estes, it is your obligation to show a likelihood that Mr. Reinecker is both mentally ill and dangerous to himself or others. Are you ready to proceed?
County's ready, Your Honor.
Mr. Walker, you're the appointed counsel for the defense. Are you ready?
Yes, sir, Your Honor.
Good. Let's get on with it.
Were you surprised when the proposed patient attacked you?
Sure. Everybody was. Who knows what gets into a guy like that?
You're saying that nobody provoked Mr. Reinecker in any way that morning?
Not that I saw.
When you denied him the truck keys, what happened?
He threw me down. And I thought for a second he was going to kill me.
And having examined Mr. Reinecker, Doctor, what is your diagnosis?
I would say the proposed patient suffers from an intermittent explosive disorder as well as localized psychogenic amnesia and should undergo further treatment, definitely.
Thank you, Doctor. No further questions.
Mr. Walker, your cross-examination, please.
Walker stands up.
No questions, Your Honor. We've requested a copy of Mr. Reinecker's state dismissal report, which we believe will differ sharply with the petitioner's doctor. My secretary is waiting for it at the airport right now.
The airport?
Your Honor, counsel's had 4 days to prepare. Surely he doesn't expect us to delay a probable cause hearing while...
I asked them to have it ready by 8 this morning. It's not my fault.
All right, all right. If that's all you got, we'll start again at 9 tomorrow. But I'm warning you, Mr. Walker, no more delays.
As the judge leaves, Walker smiles reassuringly at Beau. Aaron and Wynn remain seated in the gallery, stunned. That evening, at the Prospect Grill, Walker sits drinking with a woman.
Well, thank God he's getting more time to prepare. Now if he can just get out of bed in the morning.
Ray Walker. That guy couldn't find his backside in a closet with a flashlight.
It's all part of the setup, Aaron.
It's a conspiracy. It's a setup, and we have the obligation to expose it in print.
Expose what? You can't prove that the witnesses are lying. And it's not against the law for Martin Gage to have a shirt-tail relative working at the county hospital.
But my source overheard them plan the diagnosis. Now, if that's not obstruction of justice, I should go back to school right now.
So identify your source. Get him on record and we'll fire away.
I can't.
Then let it go. Everybody in this town wants to see Beau Reinecker locked up, including Beau Reinecker, apparently.
What about the lithium? Why hasn't anyone mentioned he was medicated?
When? Wise up.
Aaron drains his drink. Wynn takes a gulp of her beer. Later, Wynn leaves the bar and walks toward her car. She doesn't notice the pickup truck parked beside her.
I thought you'd never come out.
What are you doing here?
There's something you have to know.
What's wrong with your face?
Edna dabs at her bloody lip.
I fell down.
Yeah, with someone's help.
You have to know the real reason why my husband is willing to lock away our son. He's been bribed. By your father.
My father. Oh, come on. My father wouldn't even stretch the law, let alone break it.
What would you call a loan to a near-broke business run by an alcoholic in the amount of $81,000?
I don't believe it.
He got the check yesterday.
How do you know?
I know because he's babbling about it in a drunken stupor back at our house.
Do you have any proof?
If I had proof, I'd be on the judge's front porch right now. You can get proof. You're the only one who can.
Now, wait a second.
I'm sorry. I know this all keeps falling on you, but you're the only one who can keep my son from spending the rest of his life in hell. You're the only one.
She looks at Wynn beseechingly. Later, at her father's house, Wynn gets out of her car and walks to the front door. Inside, her father sits watching a home movie of a birthday party in which he, Lisa, and others are celebrating. Wynn steps into the room and sees her father engrossed in the film. Stepping softly, Wynn walks further into the living room as she watches wistfully. In the movie, Tom puts on a barbecue apron and then kisses a young Wynn on the cheek. As Tom watches morosely, the film shows him fussing over Snuffy when the dog was a puppy. Then Lisa hugs and kisses her father. Wynn's eyes grow moist with tears as she watches the old film. Tom leans back and continues watching the footage of himself and Lisa hugging playfully. As tears run down her cheeks, Wynn turns and walks into the kitchen. When she reaches the back door, she takes a set of keys that hang on a large key ring, glances over her shoulder, and leaves. Later, at the Home National Bank, Wynn unlocks the front door and walks inside. As a car passes, she shrinks back against a wall, then steps toward her father's office. She looks through papers on his desk, opens a drawer, removes a file folder, then replaces it. She opens another drawer and sees a file labeled Lisa. She removes it, places it on the desktop, and opens it. Inside, she sees an approved loan to Doyle Reinecker in the amount of $81,000 and another to Ivan White for $7,800. The next morning, Tom walks out of his house.
Snuffy! Come on! Here.
He opens Snuffy's kennel and feeds the dog. As he crouches down, patting the dog, Wynn walks into the yard.
They say an old dog doesn't take to new tricks. You believe that?
Depends on the dog. What are you doing here?
Wynn hands him the file, then places his keys on it.
They call this breaking and entering, you know.
You want to compare crimes? I only want to make a deal. I won't tell on you if you don't tell on me. Just call off Doyle Reinecker. Bo's paid, Daddy. All he should ever have to.
Don't talk balance sheets to a banker, Wynn. Do you think 4 years in the hospital equals the lifetime I'm missing with my daughter? I believe now, and I'll go to my grave believing. People are responsible for their acts.
Carrying the file, Tom pushes past her.
And what about your acts, Daddy? You've broken the law. Who are you responsible to?
To my God. And to Lisa. The trouble with life is it doesn't always follow the rules. You'll understand that someday.
I spent part of the night at the post office, Daddy. I made copies of those papers.
Then I guess you'll have to decide if you want to send your father to jail to free your sister's killer.
Wynn meets her father's contemptuous gaze. Then Tom turns and walks toward the house. Later, at the courthouse...
I understand you now rest your case, Mr. Walker. And this is it?
The judge holds a single piece of paper.
The release report from your client's former psychiatrist?
And the deposition from his ward supervisor. Yes, Your Honor.
Yes, well, all right. I want to thank both counsels for the cooperation, and I'll now rule. We seem to have here conflicting opinions on Mr. Reinecker's competence. And given that, I'd have to say that the more convincing testimony is that of the county's medical expert. At least it's more current.
Wild-eyed, Edna looks at Wynn.
In the matter of the care or treatment of Bartholomew S. Reinecker,
no!
I hereby...
Edna rises.
You don't know the whole story. Tom Nolan is paying my husband to put our boy away.
Objection, Your Honor.
Under advisement, what are you talking about, Mrs. Reinecker?
My husband has received a loan from the Home National Bank for $81,000. If that's not a bribe, I'll flap my arms and fly.
Bo drops his head.
Do you know anything about this, Tom?
Yes, I do, Al. Doyle Reinecker came to us a while back for a business loan, and I granted it to him about 3 weeks ago.
Well, Tom, I'm a little surprised that you would loan money to Doyle Reinecker, of all people.
The truth is, I didn't want to do it, but, well, I finally realized I couldn't hold him responsible for his son's actions. Doyle Reinecker came to us for a loan long before we knew his boy was getting out. I don't blame his missus for trying. I don't blame her at all, but that's all there was to it.
That right, Doyle?
Doyle nods.
Mrs. Reinecker, maybe you better just, wait outside, please.
My apologies, Your Honor, but I thought in this country you couldn't be tried twice for the same crime.
Bo looks over his shoulder and meets his mother's eyes. Edna walks past Wynn, who wrestles with her emotions.
All right, let's get this over with. Mr. Estes, your objection is sustained. I hereby order that in the matter of Bartholomew S. Reinecker, that he be remanded...
Judge McGrath?
Wynn stands up.
Now what?
About the loan.
She steps into the aisle.
I wish it were as simple as my father just said.
Tom watches his daughter approach the judge.
This is a signed copy of the agreement, dated yesterday.
Wynn hands the judge the contract.
But it was approved 3 weeks ago.
The loan is interest-free at 3 times the assessed value of Mr. Reinecker's company. The second paper is a loan given 2 days ago to Mr. Ivan White, another witness.
Those are privileged papers, Al.
Also, somebody should mention, Bo Reinecker's been on a drug that blocks violent behavior ever since his release.
Aaron watches from the gallery.
Why didn't you introduce that, Ray?
Walker shakes his head.
I'd like to see the proposed patient and both counsels in my chambers immediately. Gentlemen, I may ask you to stipulate to this new evidence. Wynn, would you wait here, please?
Wynn nods.
Al, wait a minute. Al, wait a minute. You can't stop now. Never mind the letter of the law. What comes first? What's right for all of us?
I'll handle this, Tom. I suggest you wait outside.
I can explain the papers. Al, don't let him go. You let him get away before. You owe me.
No one owes you anything, Tom.
The judge gives Tom an acid look, then enters his chambers. Tom stares at the closed door in disbelief, then glares at Wynn. As he walks by, his eyes bore into her. Wynn watches her father stalk to the courtroom door. He leaves without a backward glance. Wynn stands in the empty courtroom. Later, at the Daily News... Aaron steps out the door, carrying Wynn's suitcase.
The motel's in the other direction. Are you sure you have time to drop me off?
Yeah, you sure we got everything?
I think so. You'll tell Daddy to pick up the car here, right?
Absolutely. Haven't you spoken to him since the court thing?
I tried.
He loads her suitcase in the back of his truck.
You really miss him, don't you?
I'll get over it.
Oh, quit trying to be so adult.
Oh, really? What happened to that find-your-own-identity diet you were feeding me last month?
You ate too much. Listen, your daddy and I probably don't agree on a lot of things, but he is a decent man, and he's been put through hell. He needs your help, Wynn. Maybe more than you know.
What's that supposed to mean?
Walt said the police have seen him trailing the kid from a distance, but actually following him. Maybe before you go, you gotta stop by and see him.
He wouldn't let me in the door.
You don't want to cut your roots. He doesn't want that, and you don't want it either.
What he wants, Aaron, is to hold on to Lisa. Maybe someday he'll be ready to let go. Until then, I'm the last person in the world who'd make any difference.
Aaron gives Wynn a hug. That evening at the Anchor Motel, Wynn packs. She picks up a coat and a small case and places them on a stack of bags. Wynn considers her pile of belongings, then looks at the phone across the room and moves to pick up the receiver. Apprehensive, she waits for her call to be answered.
Hello, Ginny. Is Daddy there? Oh. Well, tell him I called to say goodbye. I'm going back to school. He knows? Oh, the blurb in the paper. Oh, wait. I may have found him. Look, I'll call you from school. I promise.
Wynn steps across the room and opens the door. It's Beau.
Paper said you're leaving.
I'm going back to school on the red eye.
I decided I couldn't let you leave without saying thanks for what you did.
That's okay.
Beau looks at Wynn's pile of luggage and fidgets nervously.
You getting along all right with your dad now?
So. Listen, what can I say to make you stay?
She looks at him, baffled.
I can't stay. There's nothing left here for me.
For 2 weeks, I've thought about nothing but you. I wanted to see you, but I couldn't risk it. Because the one other person in my life that I love besides you, I...
Loved?
I tried not to let it happen.
He draws her close and kisses her.
What if I went with you? To the college. Their coach tried to recruit me once. We could get a place together, start a new life.
That's funny. A long time ago, I used to have some dreams kind of like that.
Come on.
I'll drive us to the airport, grab a ticket.
It won't work, Beau. I've learned to believe in you. But I could never believe in us. Not after everything that's happened. Not to say it wasn't a great dream once upon a time.
Beau looks at her, disappointed.
Could I at least drive you to the airport?
At the city limits.
Hey, we've got time. Take it easy.
Sorry. I thought you'd be glad to get out of this town.
No.
But it's something that I have to do. And so do you.
Leave? I will. As soon as it's over.
What are you gonna do? Stay here? It could take forever to piece it together. And people will never let you.
No. I've got a new plan. I got to thinking how being with you helped me remember. So I started going to places that Lisa and I used to hang out. Everywhere. The burger bar, Eddie's, the park. Well, everywhere but.
Get out of here, Beau. You're free.
Free? I get no freedom from that judge, Winnie. There's only one way I'm ever gonna get that.
Turn around.
Why?
Drive to the dam.
Torrents of water flow down the dam spillway. In the darkness, Wynn and Beau approach the dam and drive across it. The pickup truck turns into the parking lot by the river's edge. Beau parks where Drew Lanscott parked with Lisa years earlier.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Take your time.
It's gonna work.
Uh-huh.
It's got to. I'm clear. I'm rid of the drugs.
You're rid of the drugs?
The lithium, I trashed it.
Why?
To keep it from blocking me.
But that's not what it does.
Beau steps from the truck and stands facing the open door.
This is where Lanscott parked. I saw them from the bridge. I parked. I ran to the car. And there she was. With Drew. He had his hands on her. Help me, Wynn.
I'm trying.
Come on, help me.
Oh, don't! No!
He summons back his memory.
I believed you, Lisa. I believed you. And every time you opened your mouth, you lied. You never cared. You never loved.
Lisa grips his shoulders and kisses him.
I do love you. It's always been you.
While Beau remembers, Wynn picks herself up from the ground and looks at him.
It's always been you, she said. But if you love me, then why Drew?
I can't marry you.
Why, damn it?
She's marrying Drew Lanscott.
How could she marry Lanscott? She said she loved me. I ask her again, why Drew?
Because I'm pregnant.
Beau glares at Lisa.
When were you shacking with Lanscott?
Difference.
You lying, rotten, I'll kill you.
Beau holds Lisa firmly by the arms.
All right, wait. You don't have to have the baby.
Yes, I do.
I'll take you to the city. You can get an abortion.
I can't do it, Beau.
Lisa walks away, but he grabs her arm.
You can. You have to.
It's not Drew's baby. It's yours.
But you can't marry him and have my baby.
I can't do anything else. My father... An abortion would kill him.
Your father. The hell with your father.
I could never do anything to hurt my father. Ever. I'm sorry. I never should have fooled with you.
As her words sink in, Lisa walks away from him.
Fooled with me!
Terrified, Lisa backs away as he bears down upon her.
Leave me alone, Beau.
As Beau continues to act out his memory, Wynn runs away from him. Bo tackles Lisa and pins her to the ground.
Let me go!
Lie to me, Lisa.
I'm not Lisa!
I trusted you!
Lisa grabs a rock and smashes Bo across the forehead. Bo lies in the dirt holding his head as Lisa gets to her feet. Horrified at his bleeding wound, she steps back, then slips and rolls down the river embankment as Bo watches helpless. Lisa tumbles into the torrent and disappears. As Bo looks over the edge of the embankment in horror, his eyes dart back and forth, scanning the rushing waters for a sign of Lisa.
Lisa!
His memory now complete, Bo sits in front of Wynn.
I should have went after her.
No! No! Now there is nothing that you could have done.
Wynn cradles his face in her hands.
Come on. You never have to come here again.
Wynn helps Bo to his feet. Arm in arm, they turn and walk from the dam. Tom blocks their path, carrying a shotgun.
Daddy?
Lisa wasn't enough. Now it's her.
No, it's not like that.
No, he didn't kill Lisa, Daddy. It was an accident.
Tom releases the gun's safety.
What are you doing? You don't understand.
I understand.
Lisa was pregnant.
Tom doesn't flinch.
You knew?
Tom nods.
From the autopsy? But at the trial, there was nothing about...
He holds Wynn's gaze.
Dr. Gage did the autopsy.
She was God's angel. So she met you.
He raises the shotgun.
Now wait a second.
I never meant to hurt her, Mr. Nolan.
But you did. You started it. It's all because of you.
Tom sights down the barrel.
You're responsible.
You can't be serious.
Get back, Wynn.
Daddy!
You heard him, Wynn.
Bo backs away.
You can't do this!
His face a mask of hatred, Tom holds his aim as his finger tightens on the trigger. Wynn watches helplessly as he holds Bo in his sights. Later, in a courtroom.
District Docket 141A, case number 209. People versus Thomas E. Nolan. Counselor, are you prepared to enter a plea for the defendant?
Yes, Your Honor.
How do you plead in the felonious death of Bartholomew S. Reinecker? Guilty or not guilty?
Not guilty, Your Honor. By reason of insanity.
Tom's vacant eyes stare at the judge. This described version of Urge to Kill was created by Audio Vision Canada. The narrative description was written by Jim Fletcher and Peter Agnes, narrated by Kathy McKim, and produced by Marco Sorin. For other described movies and audio cinema presentations available from Audiovision Canada, call toll-free 1-800-567-6755. Co-starring Richard Brooks, Wallace Wilkinson, and Ben Slack. Ray Walker, Norman Bennett. Ron Estes, Ray Walker. Marsha, Arthel Neville. Ivan White, Harlan Jordan. Walt Dumanoff, John William Galt. Larry Rigoli, Matthew Posey. Sally, Nina Wilson. Ginny, Lou Hancock. Psychiatrist, Robert Ahola. Executive producer, Jerry London. Associate producers, Kristen Calloway and Benjamin A. Weissman. Casting by Barbara Clayman. Camera operator, Mike Sibley. Sound mixer, John Pritchett. Stunt coordinator, John Moyo. Property master, Floyd Smith. Makeup, Susan Posnick. Hair, Mike Randall. Costumer, Christy Haynes. Wardrobe mistress, Janet Lawler. Assistant editor, Christopher Cibelli. Music editor, Alan K. Rosen, Segway Music. Sound effects editing, Sound FX Inc., Dale Johnson. Apprentice editor, Todd London. Re-recording mixer, Gordon Day. Sound by Glenn Sound. London Productions, Inc.